I'm reading two places, Romans 12th chapter, but first we're going to read in the 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. It says in the 10th verse, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." And then if you would want to, you could turn to the 12th chapter of Romans. 3rd verse, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he also think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." And then we're going to flip back over into the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read, we're going to break in the 26th verse. It says, "For you see your calling, brethren," now this is talking to the Corinthians, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Here, which we were reading here, it says in the 10th verse, it says that ye shall, that we are to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are to speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, this was wrote so long ago, it seems as if that people cannot agree on hardly anything anymore, but I'm thankful that if we would just step back from any situation, you know, we would be able to see just exactly what the problem is. And so many times the problem is us being ignorant, as it says here in Romans, the 12th chapter, that he would, as it says here, that every man that is among you not to think among himself more highly than he ought to think. I know that at times it seems as if when there's problems in the church that people would be as a parent is with a child. We have a son that for whatever reason he's kind of fidgety and he likes picking at things, and he's only 2 years old. But of all the kids, he's the worst. And I remember my parents telling me not to pick at things as well. But maybe I was worse than him at an older age, because I can remember it. I can't remember what I was doing at 2 years old. But anyhow, he got his lips chapped, and he started picking at his lip right there on the tip of his lip, the top lip. And you know, we was just, I was concerned about it, because he's peeling, always peeling that off. Well, he fell and hurt his chin, and he moved from his lip to his chin. And he's had a sore on his chin a whole lot longer than he should have, because he continually picks at it. Well, we see that he's moved on from his chin, and he's went back to picking at his lip. And you know, a parent a lot of times is concerned, and they'll say, "Don't pick at that. Don't pick at the scab. You need to let it heal." And I think there's a lot of times that people are the same way when it comes to the matters that are in church. And there are some issues that if you just leave them, let them alone, they'll heal on their own. But generally that's not the case. When we think about picking at something, it is, and the problems in a church, one could might compare it more to a pick in a garment. That's not something that will go away. You know, I know that I can remember, because I had a bad habit of picking at things, that I'd get a pick in my pants or something, and there it being, it just be small, and yeah, you could see it, but I thought that in my childish mind that I could just I could just pull that and break that off, and it would then you wouldn't have this big old pick hanging in the front. And I it would have been foolish for an adult to say, Daryl, just quit picking at that, because if you quit picking at it, it'll go away, because it wasn't going to go away. It was a flaw in the material, but due to the fact that I'd snared it on something. But yet I try to pick at it or pull at it and think, and by breaking it off and then by stretching out the material, that somehow that it was less likely to be able to see it. But it made the terror worse. We need to realize and recognize that when we, just as a child, my mama said, Daryl, you need to come to me and let me cut that. I thought, well, cut it. That's not near as good as trying to stretch it there at it. But she would cut it, and I could see that it made it a whole lot better. But we've got a seamstress, as it were, one that is better at fixing our flaws than any one of us here. We need to understand, as it was, when Paul was talking to the Corinthians, we need to look at what he was saying to them. Sometimes we read it and we think about, hey, now listen to what he's saying about these people. But we need to put ourselves in that position and see that he was saying to them, to us as he were to them, that you're foolish, as it were, that you're not wise, that you're not noble, that you're foolish, that you're not mighty, that you're base. And understand that if there's anything that we can get done today, maybe it's because we'll have stood back from the situation and realize that we're not near as high as we are, as we think we are. That when unity, when we want unity, we need to go back to the same source. You know, I think sometimes we have a little fun about with it, with our wives, don't we, men? We even use their maiden names sometimes when they do something silly. And we'll even say, Baker, or I can remember as a kid, Snyder. Why? What's the purpose of that? The purpose of it is to elevate ourselves higher than we ought to. Because listen now, my wife is a very smart woman. I'm going to leave it at that. Try not to say too much. But you know what? If she weren't, what is it saying to me? She's born that way. She didn't have no sense otherwise. But for me, the taker of all the women in the world, and marry her, says something to me. So then, each and every one of us, we need to understand that we are as God has made us. And if there's any good whatsoever to be accomplished, it's because of His glory in us, working through us. Because it wasn't me finding Him through some mathematical equation. It wasn't through the lessons of physics and some in-depth study of the science that I was able to come to the recognition and realization that there was a God. Because calculus and all of these other higher maths and sciences I've never accomplished, nor could I probably comprehend. But it was because grace, Jesus reached down and He spoke to my heart and my sinfulness. It wasn't any good that I'd done. It wasn't that I was mighty or that I was noble. But it was because He was loving and that He reached down to me. And there's not a one of us that are any different. We were thinking about some people that are making some very foolish decisions in their life. Some people that need the Lord desperately. And you know what? They're ignorant. They're stupid. Well, now that's a condescending attitude if I don't put myself in that same position. And that's where we find ourselves so many times. We say about this one or that one, boy, they're acting foolish. Or do they have any sense at all? But we need to, from time to time,
read as we did in 1 Corinthians, that there's none here that is mighty. There's none here that is noble. There's none here that is wise. And that it would do us well sometimes to realize. Here's a perfect example of just something just as silly. My mama and my wife there last night was getting together the meal today. We've been staying up there because my wife getting over with the cesarean. And they were up there and they were working on this meal. And I can remember my mother saying to make sure that we got the fried chicken because it would be just like Herbert. She didn't say it would just be like me or it would just be like us. She'd say, but I remember what she said. She said, it'd be just like my father. They'd go off and leave that. She said, we've done that before. Because she had everything placed out on the counter except the chicken because it was to be in the refrigerator. Well, you know what? I told my wife after they left. I said, did they get the chicken? Yeah, they got the chicken. Well, they also made rice. And they made green beans. And something was said this morning, and Mama said, that's all right. He can have green beans. We were talking about something totally different. I think Michelle said, there's some blueberries in the refrigerator if you want some cereal. I said, well, what I've had is enough or something like that. But anyhow, Mama misunderstood that Michelle and me were having a discussion about what we was going to have today. And Mama mentioned, we got green beans. Well, guess what? We do have green beans. They're right there in the refrigerator. See, Mama picked up two other bowls. One of SpaghettiOs and the other, what was it? Oh, it was a black-eyed peas. But you know, that's all right. I didn't have neither one of them. But you know, I was looking and you know what I said to myself? I said, how on earth you put something in a bowl? And I can understand my wife's awful bad about using Cool Whip bowls and you have two Cool Whip bowls and one of them's got what she made last night and one of them's got what she made a couple of weeks ago. And you can pick it up. You can pick the wrong one up. And I can understand that. But to pick up two bowls that don't look nothing like the other ones. But Mama had a lot on her mind. And I thought, how on earth? This is just me thinking to myself. How on earth do you do that? I can understand me doing it because I didn't put them in them bowls. But then I got to thinking, all right, well, it's time for me to go read my Bible. Well, I don't have my Bible today. I left it. I'm using my mother's. She remembered her Bible, didn't she? Now, what's more silly than a preacher forgetting his? So many times, we just need to read the Holy Scripture and how to get along with each other and how to show love with each other is not to think higher than we ought to of ourselves and to realize that the Lord come to us not because we were lofty. He didn't come to us because we had everything together. But He come to us because we were broken. He come to us because we were needy. I think it was, what was the governor? He used to be one of them fake wrestlers, the governor of Minnesota. What he called Christians, that they were weak-minded and that they needed religion for a crutch. And you know, that kind of made me angry, but I'll be honest with you, I do need the Lord. I do need Him. It made me angry because He said it in a condescending tone. But listen, there's not a one of us amongst each other that cannot agree that we do need the Lord. And not to use Him as a crutch, we need Him as a foundation. And it only made us, it made you upset, it made me upset because he was looking down his nose just like the world sometimes gets upset at the church when they say, look at that person. Why they're acting stupid. And they're without us communicating to them, hey, look, we're stupid too. We're flawed. We're ignorant. You should have seen me before the Lord come into my life. You should have seen the mistakes and the blunders that I used to make and that I sometimes still do. But here's the beauty of it. We don't have to figure out the answer to the calculus problem. We don't have to figure out some great mathematical equation. All we have to do is accept that which God has extended to mankind. And it's so simple. It's so simple that a child can understand. It's so simple that every one of us here that is born again has understood it. And you know, we can use the sciences and the mathematical equations if we are so inclined to prove the existence of God. We just heard this week, do you know why the ocean is salty? Do you know why it is? Because all this water is going in it, and it's evaporating. So the minerals and all these things are getting more and more concentrated in the ocean. Well, that don't tell you that. In order for it to be salty, there has to be some salt there. You know, it had to be concentrated. We know that in the Dead Sea, that it is so salty because this river goes into this smaller area of water, and that through evaporation, it's just left all these minerals. But the ocean is salty because the rivers run into the ocean and they wash salt deposits in it. And there's been some scientist that has tried, that I don't know, I'm sure that mathematics was involved, but to say that he has figured it out, he's taken right now, he has taken the amount of salt that's in the what we would consider pure water, from all over the globe, the rivers running into the ocean and their salt content. And he says by it that if the world was millions and millions of years old, like the evolutionist says, he says that the water would be so brine that there's nothing that could live in it. And he's used science and he's using mathematics to prove his theory that it is much, much younger. And what would the evolutionists say? They would say, that's not a constant. Even though they always, when they figure out their things, they always use constants that weren't constants. But that's not a constant. But then let's hear what they do say. They say that in the past there was massive erosion. And that's how we got the Grand Canyon. Is that millions and millions of years this stream washed down through there. And then they'll have to agree, well, at points in time there was mass erosion. Well, so that would even make, if it was higher levels than it is today, it would even make it more salty. But we're just using the constants of how it is today. And you know, maybe through some of that some intellectual person might be able to have their shell that they've built around their life and the false idea that God doesn't exist, maybe to have it to start cracking. But I know that whether they would be some scientist or some child sitting on in the pews today, in order to accept God, you have to come to the basic realization that I need Him. Just like my little baby daughter needs her mother. You know, it was just so cute when we all gathered around the table for the first time. Michelle was in the hospital 3 days, and we gathered all around the table. And we were all there, except Michelle and the baby. And Michelle was in the kitchen, or in the living room, coming in there. And Jubal, my 2-year-old, we said it was time to eat, and he wanted to know where Mama was. And I said, she's in there, she's coming in here. And then he heard the baby crying. And he said, eat food. And he was pointing to his bowl that Charlene could have some of his food. And I said, honey, she don't eat food like that. She drinks milk. And there was such a, because of all my kids, I guess Jubal likes milk more than any of them. Well, you just see the smile on that little child's face. Wow, this is really neat. This is something that he can understand that. And so I'm thinking in his kid's mind, he's probably wanting to give that little baby a sippy cup. We just need to be as those little children. He's just 2 years old and he realizes that we need to eat, don't we? He don't realize it to the point some children have experienced it, because he's not went long spells with great hunger because of the Lord's blessings. I truly believe that there's a reckoning day coming for United States of America, and we might be seeing some of it. But you know what? We don't have we do not have a Christian president. Oh, I don't know that you could even say we have a religious president. We have a president who is superstitious. And we see how in his acts that I truly believe it reminds me of when I went over to India. We went over to India, and I know that there was a language barrier there, of course, but I could understand that in some of the services that we had, that there was these Hindus who come to these services because they believe that Christians had a force, that Christians had a certain power, and that they wanted to benefit from it. And if they could, benefit or use the power that the Christians have, that's a good thing. That there's not a, I don't know, maybe in northern India, but in the part of India and the Hindus that were there, that there was not a one of them that would reject, as some here right in America. You know, there was the one woman that was just found it so offensive that our president would have men praying at his inaugural speech. Well, you go over to India, and there's not a Hindu one that would reject a Christian's prayer, because a Christian has power, and they want that power. On the, you know, they want to incorporate that Christian ideal into their. I guess you could say in their way of thinking, and their that since there's many gods, that the Christian God's a good one. You know, I'm afraid that there's a lot of people in this United States of America that are the same way. Yeah, we'll throw around religious words, and we'll tell people that they're in our prayers, and we'll have great men stand up and say wonderful speeches with their head bowed to make a point to the people. And we listen to the inaugural speech. We heard the black man that closed in prayer, and it was interesting what he said. And I'm sure that Barack Obama liked it a lot because of not who he was talking to, but of the point he was making. And there's a lot of people that say, yeah, I want this and I want that, and I want to have a form of religion, but yet I don't want it to influence my decisions. And yeah, I can say I love God and kill His creation. I can say I love God and make it easier for women to murder their unborn children. I can say I love God and say that the people that practice what Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for ought to be able to wear the United States uniform. I can say I love God and that He loves all these things. But what we have there is not a man that's religious nor a Christian, but a man that is superstitious and has put his trust in those things outside of whom we should. And you might say, boy, he's ignorant. I was telling the guys at work, I said, now listen, this is how crazy this guy is. I said, on the same day that he said that children, that unborn babies, do not have the rights as human beings, on the very same day, he said that terrorists should have the rights of U.S. citizens. I said, now where's the logic in that? And there was some that says, he's an idiot. There was others that said, all manners of words that are not positive. But we need to understand that among us,
There is not many wise, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So let us not glory in our own accomplishments, but let us glory in the fact that Jesus Christ communicated His wonderful plan of salvation to us, that He reached down and He told us about the crucifixion and what it should mean to us. And when we think of those people, just as our president, and say, how can this man have a college education and be doing some of the things he's doing? Let us also remember that we too are not wise and not mighty or noble. And the Lord spoke to us. Might He use these simple things to bring down those that are mighty and noble, so that they too might realize that we're all in the same place. That if we make it to heaven, it'll be through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's get some song to sing. If you remember, old me and Michelle hadn't been married very long. You know her maiden name's Baker. And she burnt the biscuits. And I don't think I said it out loud, but I thought, her Baker, and she burnt the biscuits. But she wasn't a baker anymore, was she? She was a Hensley. And I mean, it didn't make me upset as far as like to be really upset. I just couldn't understand why somebody do that, ruin a good biscuit. But you know what? I couldn't make them without a recipe book. But that's how we are. We're so critical sometimes of each other. I need to realize that we're so much alike, and that we both need the Lord, and that there's really not anything that we can accomplish. And you might say, "Well, I'm better at doing this than you are," and you might be, but it's simply because the Lord, in that particular area, has given you a gift, or has helped you out, or you've prayed more earnestly. I can watch two people. Oh, at work, you know, and there's one guy that don't care, and there's one guy that cares a lot. You know, sometimes the guy that don't care is better than the guy that cares a lot. And then other times, that guy that cares a lot will pay attention to the smallest of details, and his finished product will look so much better than the one that don't care a lot, who's skilled a whole lot more. Why? Because he realizes that he's not very good at it. And he needs to pay attention. And he needs to pray as he works. And I think it would do us all well to recognize that we're in that same place. Marriage is because it's not because she's a baker and I'm a Hensley. Not because Hensleys are better than bakers or bakers are better than Hensleys. But it's because that we have a Heavenly Father and we have a Savior who's Jesus Christ. And I'll truly have to say that my wife is a wonderful wife. That she's a good mother to our children, not because the fact she's a baker, that she married a Hensley, and I taught her right. That because she loves the Lord, And she asked him for his help. And if there's any good I ever accomplish, I said it just this week. It was this week. Oh, it was funny. I think it was Monday. Went to the bank. Can't remember. But anyhow, we went to the bank and they asked me how I was doing. There was a new girl in there, so I had to. I said, "Oh, better than I deserve." And she said, "Now listen, it was funny. It was so funny because people don't know what to say, so they say something that sounds real stupid." She said, "Oh, I'm sure you deserve better." Now, what's that saying? Okay, what do I look like? You know, and I wanted to say it, and I said it under my breath, but I didn't say it to her. But it's like, what do you know about me? You don't know nothing about me. I could eat children for a living. You know? We just have that attitude. Well, I sure ain't getting what I deserve. I even heard a guy say that. You know, to me, that's a positive. To him, it was a negative. There's a guy at work. I said, "Oh, better than I deserve." He says, "Well, I ain't getting what I deserve." I said, "Well, neither am I. If I did, I'd be dead, burning in hell." Turn around, walk off. But in his mind, he said, "I wasn't getting what I deserve." I guess that was supposed to be cake with icing on top or something. If we would have the attitude and the realization of what Paul told the Corinthians in that first chapter of 1 Corinthians and then what was said in Romans, we would really solve a lot of our turmoil. Not only our interaction with other humans, but also with the tendency to not be thankful for what the Lord has blessed us with. I think I told my wife, or maybe I was just thinking about it, but I didn't really, you know, I've heard my dad say this, and I always thought it was silly, because I had a sister, and when Laura came along, even though I was disappointed she wasn't a boy, I mean, I just loved her. I never consciously thought, where am I going to put this love at? But I think that he had mentioned before, you know, that about, you know, you just love your wife and her child, and you just think, how am I going to be able to, my heart's just so full of love for this one kid, you know, and this other one's going to come along, and you love it just as much, you know. And I love my family dearly, and I knew that when Charlie happened to have been a boy, whatever, that I was going to love this baby just as much as the rest of my kids. But after all that happened with them rushing her into the operating room, I never realized that having another girl would cause me to love my other children and my wife more, and I didn't think that was possible, more than I did before we went to the hospital. This week, just this whole week, looking in the face of Riley and Rebecca and Levi and Jubal, I have all those exciting, happy feelings that you get when you look at that baby when it first comes out. And, Mama, it's like that chicken that you fixed. Daddy dismissed in prayer, and Levi, he said, he run up here, he said, "Oh, I'm going to get me some of that good chicken." I said, "Levi, how do you know it's good?" "Oh, I know it's good because I had some last night." And, you know, I know that the love of God is good because I've experienced it. But when we get to heaven and we're able to reign with Christ Jesus for thousands upon thousands of years and experience what it's like to be in the family of God, where there is no mark of sin, I don't know exactly what it feels like, but I know somewhat of what it feels like. And it's just like that little taste that the Lord gives us here in this life. It was a lot better.